Welcome. This is a sermon from Hope Community Church. We're glad you're here.
For those of you who don't know, I've been up here before for a call to worship and things like that. It's my first time bringing the message, so I'm a little bit nervous, but two things. One is I consider you're all friends. You've been very supportive, so that's super encouraging. And I just pray that my words are God's words and you hear what you need to hear today. So those two things are very comforting. So just as a review, I'll be covering Renew today, but as a review, go ahead. So Brad, 2 weeks ago, he introduced this Receive, Renew, and Reflect. And as elders, at the beginning of this year, we started reading a book called Simple Church. We had a mission statement. It was to reach unbelievers for Christ and mature believers. That's a good mission statement. The problem was nobody knew it. Nobody knew it here. I remember being in house church with Krishna 1 week, and Krishna asked, went around the room, does anyone know what our mission statement is? No one knew. And that was not their fault. That was on us as the elders. So as we read through this book, we wanted our mission statement or our purpose statement to also be our process, to make it simple, intentional. So as we see, we receive God's love and God's word, we're renewing our hearts and minds, and we're reflecting God and God's character. So not only is this our purpose, but it's also our process. And so this week, we can go to the next slide. So this week I was talking to Dave Groh, and he was excited about Receive, Renew, Reflect. Oh, and one other thing before I get started on this. Yesterday I was kind of going over my message with Joanne, and I was like, you know, we're talking, she knows, she's been here, she knows we're talking about our new purpose statement. And I said, yeah, do you remember what our purpose statement is? And she's like, yeah, it's the three R's, Receive, Renew, Reflect. And I'm like, oh, good, that's super encouraging. So one person knows here at least, but I think the rest of you probably were familiar with that when it was up. So as I was talking to Dave, he was excited, and he's like, you know, we see this modeled in Scripture, this Receive, Renew, Reflect. And he goes, you know, just check out Colossians 1. So I did, and we see in Colossians 1, starting in verse 5 and going to 6, in which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So see, the Christians of Colossae are hearing and understanding God's word, and this is receiving God's word and God's love. And as we go on in verse 9, we see, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And so we see this in verse 9. This is renewing our mind. Paul is praying here for the Christians of Colossae that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will, and their wisdom and their understanding will continue. And we see then in verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And this is reflecting. And Kirk's going to talk about this more next week, but we see a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way, bearing fruit, which is just reflecting God and God's character. So that's encouraging to me, and I think it's encouraging the elders that this receive, renew, reflect, we see this modeled in Scripture. So that's good. So before we get too started into renew, I just have, you can go to the next one, Matt. So I just have a little, it's a day before Halloween, so I'm going to tell you a little story about a real life boogeyman by the name of John Kurtz. And to give you some context, I was a Pennsylvania State Trooper from 1995 till 2020. And John Kurtz, he was a physically not imposing individual. He was married, he had two kids, he had a full-time job. But in an early morning, December of 2017, myself and several other troopers, we met at the Stonington Barracks, with an arrest warrant for Mr. Kurtz. So we had our plan. We were going to arrest him prior to him going into work that morning. We got in place. We executed that plan. We picked up Mr. Kurtz at 6 in the morning as he was going into work. And I rode in the back seat with him on the way back to we went back to the Milton Barracks. He didn't say a word on the way back, and the only thing I said to him is, it's over. You can relax. It's over with. So I was wondering, my job that day was to speak with Mr. Kurtz to see if he'd be willing to be interviewed. I wasn't sure if he would be, but when we got to the barracks, he was very willing to talk to me. So for the next 6 hours, Mr. Kurtz talked about how his pursuit of random women that he would make plans for, spend months planning, picking these women out, planning, and then executing these crimes where he would enter into their homes, abduct them, and assault them. And we thought it had began in 2002. As he spoke to me, it had begun much earlier than that, in about 1996. And he talked to me about crimes that we were aware of, that we had arrested him for on this arrest warrant, and then other crimes that we were not aware of that he disclosed to me. And after 6 hours of speaking to him, and he had gone into detail about his heinous acts, I said to him, "Mr. Kurtz, why did you do this? Like, what made you do this?" And I'll never forget what he said. He looked at me and he said, "When I was 11 or 12 years old, I was watching TV at home or watching a movie. I saw a woman get assaulted, and I could not get that out of my mind. And from there, that little thing that he saw on the TV grew into this this horrible fantasy world that he had, which then led to these acts." So fast forward to 2022, I work at in a small school. I'm the school police officer at a small school. I'm sitting in an elementary school, the elementary school principal's office, and it's myself, the principal, and a sixth grade student. And the sixth grade student is in the principal's office because he has taken his school-issued Chromebook and has searched for some of the most heinous, hard to imagine, very specific incestual acts that he's been searching for on his Chromebook. And when I said to the student, "Why were you searching for these things?" He said to me, "It wasn't me. The computer glitched. The keys actually started depressing on their own." And me being a trained criminal investigator, I thought, that's not true. So I said, "I don't believe you." And so then he began to disclose things that had been happening at home, things that he was involved in with some of his siblings, some of his much younger siblings. And after disclosing one event with a younger sibling, he said to me, "Ever since that happened, I cannot get it out of my head. I can't control it. I have to search for these things." And some of the things he was searching was very specific to some of these acts he talked to us about. So the reason I tell you these stories is not to scare you, to alarm you, to offend you. It's just to talk about the power of the mind, right? And so you may be sitting here today, and I thought I was risking this by telling you stories because you may be sitting there today like, that's not me. I'm not a criminal. I don't have these perverse thoughts. And I would agree, this is a very small percentage of people who deal with these things. But I think Satan is perfectly, he's perfectly fine with us staying occupied in our minds with maybe innocent enough things, with watching TikTok videos, thinking about sports, fantasy football, our schedules, our work, our kids, and things that just take time, that take hours, days, weeks, decades, a lifetime of just keeping us amused, rocking us to sleep. So next slide. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what renewing our mind, what it is. I'm going to talk about why we need to renew our mind, and then a little bit about how to renew our mind. So what is renewing our mind? Renewing our mind is the key to the Christian life, but what does it mean? And can we just go back just for a second? Sorry. So last week, Krishna talked about receiving. So we think about The gospel is calling on believers to repent, to receive Jesus through grace by faith. And in fact, he talked about Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. But then Paul says this in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then Paul says in next verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And where have we seen this before in the Old Testament, this day by day, depending on God, as we see the Israelites in the wilderness. They're depending on God for the manna, sustaining them day by day. And what happened when they would try to store it up? It spoiled, right? So our dependence on God is designed to be day by day. So then we see these two verses that kind of contrast with the two verses I just showed you. Next. Yep, go through. So 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. And the next verse, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned through the Spirit. So what does it mean to renew our heart and mind? So it's changing our thinking, right? We're changing our thinking. We're replacing our old ways of thinking. The world is bombarding us with their narrative. We develop these lies that we don't really think are lies. It's just we've been taught to think this way. But we're replacing that old way of thinking with truth, and that truth that is only found in God's Word. And we see that in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to me, and he will make your path straight. So, again, last week, as Christian was talking about receiving God's word, we see that we receive his word, receive his love. We put our faith in Jesus Christ and the saving work that he did on the cross. And because of that, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified. We are justified in the sight of God, and we are saved, we'll go to heaven. But the Christian life is not a singular event, right? There is this renewing, this constant renewing of our mind. It's a process of renewal. Renewal is, it's what transforms us. It's proactive, it's intentional. And as the Spirit starts to shape us to be more and more in the likeness of our Savior. So as we meditate on the truth that we find in God's Word, we become more intimately familiar with God, and we begin to, and we get, become more familiar with God and His character, but then we begin to reflect God and His character. So next, we go to the why. Why do we need to renew our minds? So we're back to Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And then there's our answer, right? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So he desires to overwhelm us with his presence. But in his goodness, he knows that if we're not aligned with him or seeking him, this will not work. Rather, in God's grace, he says, you know, I will overwhelm you when you seek me. When you seek me, you will find me. So next, downstairs right now, our kids in Sunday school, their key verse is Jeremiah 29:11, and they are putting this verse to memory. So it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. But let's read a little further down in Jeremiah, verses 12 and 13. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So God is saying, I have a plan for you, a good plan, and if you seek me, you will find me. So God is preparing us to be overwhelmed by his presence, to put us right in the middle of where he is working. Imagine God beginning a work here at this church, in your community, at your job, within your family, and you with a renewed mind, overwhelmed with his presence, being right in the middle of where God is working. How exciting would that be, right? What if what our church, our community, and our country needs right now are Christ followers with a renewed mind who are surrounded by truth, overwhelmed with God's presence. We don't need more progressive Christians or more conservative Christians, but Christians who are renewing their mind day by day, who are seeking Christ with all their heart, loving their neighbors, and living out the gospel. So how do we do this? It should be easy, right? I mean, we accepted Christ. We should become more like Christ. But it's not always that easy, is it? We live in a broken world. We are descendants of Adam. We are constantly being tempted. The world is putting so much out there, vying for our attention, right? And I don't need to go into that. We know what's out there now. I think at our house, I think I'm paying for streaming services that I don't even know that I have. There is so much out there. And what is it trying to do? It just wants to entertain us, right? It wants to keep us distracted. It wants to rock us to sleep and ultimately destroy us. So we've talked about what renewing our mind is, and we've talked about why we should renew our mind, but how do we do this? So you're like, confession, like, well, that's kind of weird. Like, I wasn't expecting it to go this way. And, you know, I kind of remember you saying about how Jesus died on the cross and he was rose again. And on that cross, like, all my sins are covered. My past, if I'm a follower of Christ, my past sins, my current sins, my future sins are covered. So why do I need to confess, right? So in John 10:15, it says, I lay down my life for my sheep. And he goes on further in Hebrews 7:27, unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices, talking about Jesus, day after day. First for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. So why do we need to confess? Well, in 1 John 1:8, we see that we still have sin. We need to acknowledge this sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so I took a quote from John Piper. I think he explained it pretty well as far as confession goes. It's so confessing our sins is the agreement with God that we have sinned and it must be fought and killed. If we don't confess this truth, we're living in an illusion. We're lying. We're deceived. We're calling God a deceiver. Go on. If we believe we have no sin and that doesn't need to be killed, we're living in an illusion, not in salvation. So confession of sin is not the basis of our forgiveness. It is one of the traits that show we are truly in Christ, where all our sins are covered by his blood. And finally, about confession is for us, right? It is, we are acknowledging that we've sinned against our Heavenly Father, and it's removing any perceived barrier we may have put between us and our Father. It's helping us repair that relationship. God isn't going to change. He is the same. But we put this baggage, this guilt, these barriers that we perceive between us and God. And I think confession is a good place to start when we're renewing our minds. So next, we want to seek him. James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. So how do we seek God, right? And so I'm going to propose a pretty radical idea here, and if I haven't lost you, I may lose you at this point, but I think in order to seek him, we are going to have to offer up probably one of our most, if not our, the most precious commodity, right? And what is that? Our time. And the reality of it is we make time for what's important to us. And if it just takes you at the beginning, maybe scheduling a little bit of time for you to get in that habit, spending time with God, then schedule some time. We schedule time for other things. We need to schedule time for God. So I have just a little story time here, as far as the little idea. So that red, can you see the red dot on the, okay, first of all, I work at a school, and I'm always amazed because I like to play trivia with the kids. Do we know what this is, a map of? Okay. So a map of the United States, and on the far, we here on the right coast like to refer to or the east coast like to refer to the left coast, but on the far left coast there, you see the red dot. Okay, so it's the early 90s, that's me, I'm at Biola University, and I decide I'm going to go into the American Studies program, which is one semester of my college, it was the fall semester of my senior year, early 90s, and I travel to Washington, D.C. And there I meet Joanne. Joanne hadn't come as far, she was at Messiah, outside of Harrisburg. She came down to the American Studies program. We lived in the same building. We studied together. We had internships at different places, but we lived across the hall from each other. We got to know each other, became very fond of each other, and at the end of the semester, I moved back to Los Angeles, to the West Coast. I had one more semester to graduate. So at that point, now this is before the internet, like Al Gore may have, but he's still working on the internet at that point. I don't have it, but this is before the internet, before cell phones. The next slide. So if you called Biola University, you would call a main number. It would go to a switchboard, and then you would, if you want to talk to me, you'd say, you know, I want to talk to Stuart Hall, room 405. And they would plug you in. If I happened to be sitting at my dorm room, which I didn't spend a lot of time in, then my phone would ring, I'd talk to you. So that's kind of where we were at as far as communication. So if I would have gone back to Los Angeles, and I'm kind of fond of this girl, but I go back to Los Angeles and I think, well, we'll see how this goes. Like, maybe we'll bump into each other, right? I mean, but no, I pursued after her. I saved up money, I went out to... I flew out to visit her on Valentine's Day. I graduated in May of that year, and in June I was living in Pennsylvania. I actually had spent 4 years in Los Angeles and moved to a one-room apartment in Dushore, Pennsylvania. Was living there, working with juvenile delinquents, and on the weekends I would go down to visit her. She claimed she was going to come up and visit me, and then one time up there, she's like, "I'm not coming back up here." Like. But here, I'm back in Sullivan County now, so it's funny how that works. But it was a priority to me. I think it was a priority to Joanne to get to know me better. It was a priority to me to get to know her better. And I made time to do that. And we see in Scripture over and over again, when you seek God, you will find Him. And He promises to draw near to us. So, next. So this is a very pragmatic step, right? We need to protect our mind, and there's lots of scripture out there about protecting our mind. And the first verse, Romans 8:5 says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." Next verse, Luke 6:45. "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And then finally, 2 Corinthians 10:5. "We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now, Andy Stanley, in his book, Louder Than Words, he said, this is a verse that you can make your own, and you can personalize this verse. So next slide. "I demolish arguments and every pretense that sets up itself against the knowledge of God, and I take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So here, right here we see, we have that ability to take captive some of those thoughts before they become bigger lies in our head. And you know, I just think, you know, back to the original story, if Mr. Kurtz could have just taken captive of that thought and taken control over it, instead his mind took control over him. So the mind is a powerful thing. A small idea can become a big lie that can lead to destruction. We need to protect our minds and then spend time in the Word. Right. So Revelations 1:3, this is a favorite verse of mine, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it, and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. And again, in Andy Stanley's book, Louder Than Words, he talks about these steps as far as being in the Word and having renewal. So we want to spend time in the Word, and we want to speak the truth aloud. And so speaking the truth aloud, like, I think of one way that would be really helpful for that is to memorize some key verses. And you might be sitting there right now, and I didn't quite lose you when I said you're going to have to give up some time, but now I'm really going to lose you when I say you need to memorize some verses. Like, I can't memorize verses. Well, I propose to you that that is a lie. That's a lie that the world is telling you that you can't. So 2019, myself, Brad, Stefan, Jeff Seiberling, Jaron, Krishna, we went through this program, Bible study called Radical Mentoring, and we memorized 24 verses, so 2 verses a month. And that's not like I'm telling you that because if I can do it, you definitely can. And so that first month, we came to group. We had those 2 verses. We were all really nervous about having those 2 verses memorized, and we had those 2 verses, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And we had those 2 verses. I'm like, okay, that's great. And then next month, it was 2 more that accumulated till in December, we memorized 24 verses. So when I say speak the truth, I think, so you have these verses memorized, and I've kept these verses, and I keep them with me. I'll keep them like in my truck. So we have these verses memorized, and I don't have them all down totally to memory, and especially staying up here so I can use a car. But so you're struggling. There's some lies going on in your head. You're struggling with worry, and you have this verse memorized. So you pull out Philippians 4:6-7, and you say, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God. In the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You start to surround yourself with truth. You are struggling with things going on at home, or just your self-worth, or maybe things that happened way in the past that you had no control over. And you have Ephesians 1:5 memorized, and you say to yourself, as these thoughts of just these inferiority type thoughts start to go into your head, these thoughts that I'm worthless, you read, "God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." Or you're struggling with your identity in Christ, and you have Galatians 2:20 memorized. "I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Next is pray the truth. So prayer is, it's super important, right? It is our deepest display of dependence on God. It is our highest connection to Jesus. And you might say, "I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I close my eyes. I don't know what to say to him." But you've been in the Word. You've put just a couple verses to memory, and you pray this, Psalms 104. "Dear Heavenly Father, I enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. I give thanks to you and I praise your name." Now that's a beautiful prayer, right? And you have that with you. And the next is we need to meditate on this truth. So as we read through the scripture, we start to memorize some verses, we start to write some things down, and we start to go through them in our head. And as we start to meditate on these verses, and we meditate on Deuteronomy 6:5-7, and we meditate on this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So just in summary, we talked about renewing our mind. And we talked about what that meant, right? And we're replacing our old way of thinking with truth. That's all that that means. So we have this running narrative in our head, and it's a lot of times it's full of lies. It's just influences that the world has put on us, feelings of whether it be inferiority or rationalizations. But we have these and these thoughts in our head, and we're going to replace these old thoughts with the truth. And why do we need to do this? Well, it says right in Romans 12:2, the second half of verse 2, to discern his good and pleasing will of God. So we want to be overwhelmed with his presence, and we want to be able to discern his will for us. And then the what, or excuse me, that should be how. But the how is through confession, through seeking after him, through protecting our mind, and through spending time in the Word. So the last couple slides are slides that Brad used the first week that he presented this. I think they're good. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I would suggest that these things don't just happen just like that. They're maybe started with a thought, and it started with something that we don't take control over, and develop into this. And then, but what are the fruits of the Spirit? We see this in Galatians 5. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So receive, renew, reflect. So next week, Kirk will be finishing this series with reflect. But this is our, not only our purpose, but our process. So I'll close in a word of prayer. Dear my Father, I thank you for loving us. I just pray that as you prepare us to be overwhelmed in your presence, that we are open to your truth, that we are seeking after you, God, that we are protecting our minds. I pray that we spend time getting to know you, spending time in your word, surrounding ourselves with truth day by day. This renewal process is proactive, it's intentional, and it's meant to be day by day. I thank you for this body, and I just thank you for their ongoing support of the elders. In Jesus' name, amen.